Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Bruno Pommard. We spoke last week about Hansen Winery in the Gobi Desert, and you were saying that it's a lovely, hot, dry place, you know, great for no rot and all that sort of stuff. But China's got a number of wine-producing regions all over the place. You know, what are the key regions in China for wine production?
You know, today, the Chinese vineyard is something like 200,000 hectares. It's half the size of the French vineyard. And there is vineyards in all the latitude between the 35 and the 45 degree of latitude.
Mm-hmm.
To compare Bordeaux, Madrid, you know, half of France, half of Spain, approximately.
Yeah.
And so it's coming from the, I can explain to you, from the east to the west. So from the east, there is three regions, which is Hebei, Shandong, and Beijing.
Yep.
And here, actually,
we are
on the east, near the coast.
No. Shandong's the below Beijing, near the Hong
underneath,
Kong.
Yeah.
And Beijing's in the middle. And what's the other one?
Hebei.
Hebei, where's that?
A little bit north, though, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you're coming down that coast, aren't you? Hebei, yeah. Beijing,
but
Shandong.
But all those regions have a monsoon climate, actually. And it's a real problem. Monsoon climate, you know, it's very hot and wet in summer. Really wet.
Yeah. So it's monsoon climate.
Monsoon, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So this really make problems of rot, actually. Yeah.
Yep.
They can't do quality in those regions, but at the beginning they started to plant the vineyard here because it was close to the city, close to the port, and it was near the sea, so they were just thinking it was just like Bordeaux, but it's not at all. It's really a monsoon climate, so it's too wet in summer, and most of the time all the grapes are rot. So the first thing, it's impossible to do an organic job over there.
Yeah.
They really use the chemicals in the vineyards, and the quality is really not really good. And this is a place where you find all the biggest wineries, like Great Wall, Changyu. I'm sorry to say that about them today, but this is true that they have, you see, for example, Great Wall, they have 30,000 hectare of vineyard. It's more than huge. Changyu is 17,000 hectares of vineyard.
Yeah,
they really do an enological wine. They have no choice.
Yeah.
And after you go inland, so you meet two regions, Shaanxi and Shaanxi, quite the same name. And here is still the same. It's still this monsoon climate, lots of rain during the summer. This is a little better than the east, but it still have problems.
Bordeaux gets a reasonable amount of rain, though, as well. So,
yeah.
And England makes grapes, and they get a fair bit of rain.
Sure.
Can manage it in the vineyard, but is it too wet, too humid?
Yeah, but you know, when it's really hot at the same time, we call that tropical.
Yeah.
It's really not good.
Yeah.
So, we really have to go inland, and now you arrive in the region of Ningxia, which is the best place, actually, to make grape in China, because it's quite far from the sea, is something like 200 millimeters of rain during the harvest, not more.
How much? 200?
200 millimeters, not more than that.
There's still a fair bit of rain.
Yes, it's really good, yeah. And north of this little region of Ningxia, we arrive in the Inner Mongolia. We pass the mountain, and there is a little village of Wurai, where I am. But here we are in the desert. But this is the only place in Inner Mongolia where you find vineyards. So Inner Mongolia is really a big region, but it's only on one city. You can find the vineyard is Wurai, where Chateau Hansen is.
Okay.
And after you go more east, in the Gansu, it's a little more cold. So as I said, it's better for the Pinot Noir and the white grapes.
Yeah.
The best wine for me are coming from Gansu. And after very west, the famous region of Xinjiang. And Xinjiang, they do wines, they irrigate with the water coming from the Tibet, you know, from the melted of the snow.
Yeah.
But most of the time, all the red wine are a little sweet, you know, they can't complete the fermentation. There is always some residual sugar on the red wine. Xinjiang red wine, I've got a taste. They are special, actually.
Yeah, what about white wines?
And the white wine as well, but you know, there is not too much white wine in China because Chinese people doesn't drink white wines.
Why is that?
You know, before they used to drink rice wine, and they just changed 4 years ago for red wine. Maybe the white wine will come later.
Yeah, yeah, because most countries, or most people, when they're getting into wine, they start out in white and then they work their way up to red.
No, Chinese people doesn't work like that. You know, they work by fashion and all at the same time. And they've heard that the red wine is good for health, for the heart. So now it's really well known in China. So everybody stop drinking rice wine to drink red wine. It's a big fashion.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. So your company, Hansen, make 2 million bottles of wine, which is quite a lot.
Oh no, we are a nice little winery in China.
Yeah, but maybe, but still, 2 million bottles is a reasonable amount of wine. It's not
a big deal in China. We are a little winery, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you export your wines? You're here at the London International Wine Fair.
Yeah, we come to the wine fair because we want to start the export. But what you must understand is in China, wine is a luxury product, so we sell it very expensive.
Okay.
And if we want to sell it to export to the other country, we must divide the price we sell by four. So we prefer to focus on our Chinese local market.
Yeah.
And what we do generally is we start the export nicely, gently, but only for the prestige. What we want is to be served on the nice restaurant in London or in Paris. And after take this information to give it to the Chinese media.
As a marketing ploy.
Marketing, to make the promotion of our wine in China. This is what interests us, actually.
That's quite cunning, yeah.
So, when you come to the London Wine Fair, we don't really have a commercial target.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're coming for the fun.
Yeah, yeah.
For the image, to make a little trip, to go out of China a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So life is beautiful then.
No. That sounds like interesting. So China is still your main market and it'll be for a while. One of the things about a lot of markets is when you're trying to fill demand, the key thing is to be volume-led as opposed to quality-led. And China seems to be very much in that volume-led side of the business at the moment.
Yes.
Obviously, everybody wants to make quality wines within tolerances. But what do you think will happen maybe 10, 20 years down the line when the volume is being met, there is enough volume in China? What do you think will happen to the wine industry? There must be a shakeout as people who are focused primarily on volume have to shift to quality.
So there is a few parameters. For the moment, in China, we're doing something like 3 billion bottles per year.
3 billion.
And most of the wine, so 90%, 90-95% is Chinese wine. 5-10% is imported wine, foreign wine. And the people don't know what is quality at the moment. And they never taste the wine. They just drink it ganbei.
Oh, yeah. It's just like skull. You know?
Yeah, it's every minute they do a toast and they just drink it like that. They never taste. So they don't really know what is quality. At the moment, they are learning what is quality of wine. But they learn quickly, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, for example, in our region of Ningxia, Wuhan, in Mongolia, we're making more quality every year. So the people taste it and they feel it, start to feel it, start to understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, we don't know because more and more people are drinking red wine. We don't know where it will stop. Yeah. As I said, we had in our winery, we had 500% rise of the sale in 3 years, from 400,000 bottles to 2 million. And we don't know where it will be finished.
Yeah,
we don't know, how do you call that, the roof.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
don't know where is the roof, actually.
So
we carry on planting, everybody planting. Today in the Ningxia, there is 100 new chateaux with vineyard are in building. Everybody invests in the vineyard at the moment in China, and they plant. I think in 2015, the Chinese vineyard will be as big as the French wine one.
Really?
Something like 500,000 hectares.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite a bit, isn't it? Okay. What about imports then? Because I know a lot of Australia and even New Zealand and America have been looking at getting, and France, the French are all over China. self included, I suppose, but you know, people are trying to get their wines into China. Is there a culture of preferring Chinese-led wines over imports, or imports over Chinese wines? Is there a difference there?
The Chinese people are very nationalist. This is why they want to drink Chinese wine. But they're also very curious, and of course they like all the wine of the world. But as usually, French wine have got the best prestige. So they are definitely sure that the French wine are the best, even if they don't know the tasting. So for them, French wine are the best. So the in term of importation is 60% of French wine.
Yep.
And 40% shared by all the other country. Italians becoming number 2.
Yeah.
Australia
yeah.
number 3. Chile number 4.
Chile. Yeah. Yeah.
Chile
yeah,
one. Okay. Chile number 4. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the way it is. But the best story about that is the prices, because you know before 2007 the tax on the wine for imported wines was 200%.
Yeah.
A bottle of wine being start at €1, arrive in China €4 before 2007, and after it reduced a lot to something like 50%. But the prices stayed the same, and this is why also us Chinese vineyard we are really lucky, because we just make the same prices of the foreigner wine,
yeah,
and
yeah.
the same prices that we used to do 5 years ago when the tax was very high.
Okay.
So this is why wine in China is a luxury product.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
This is amazing. We are so lucky, actually.
So you've got there's big or reasonably big margins in China for a producer.
Really big margin. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Really.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you pay the same tax as other?
Of course, no. Because we are Chinese winery, so our tax is lower.
Is it?
There is no importation tax, actually.
So if I was bringing a wine in from Chile or France, would I pay the same tax as you? I wouldn't.
I don't know. Of course, there is more tax, which we call the importation tax, which is 50%.
Really?
That we don't have in China.
Yeah, yeah,
Chinese
yeah.
winery, of
okay,
course.
Okay,
yeah.
So do you know if that's going to be changed?
No. They are very protective.
Yeah,
they are very protective, and they really look for to things and change, and make some favoritism to the Chinese product.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And just to finish up, I heard that the some producers in China are making ice wine. Is that where you guys are in the Gobi, or is it
ice wine?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fake ice wine.
Fake.
That's really ice wine.
Is it cryogenic?
Yeah, you know, it's just a sort of bad sweet wine. Sorry to say that about the Chinese wine, but you know, they just put some sugar in it. After they just call it ice wine, but nothing to do with the beautiful Canadian, Austrian, Alsatian, German ice wine, which are really harvested, you know, in December, January.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing to do with that. It's just a bad sweet wine called ice wine in China.
Okay, because I'd heard,
sorry.
I'd heard that the Canadians have been out doing some training with Chinese people about how to make ice wine and
yeah,
all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, but they took the recipe, but they did their recipe at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, fair enough. Okay, then, Bruno, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much
for
your time.
Thank you to you. My pleasure.
Cheers very much, mate.
Bye-bye. Bye.